This morning, for an Old Testament chapter, we like to read Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord, of our God, shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth forth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flocks like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. With whom hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth with a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not significant to burn, or the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him loss, are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or whom liketh, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and catheth silver chains. He that is so impoverished, he hath no oblation, cheweth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not be taken root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by all, calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of, as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Good morning, and we might read together Matthew chapter 16. Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting him desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, can you discern the face of the sky, but see the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were came unto the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And when Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand? I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Good morning, and welcome to the house of the Lord. You know, as our brother opened, I just sat there and kind of felt bad because I know our brother had a message for us today too. You know, as he shared there in Isaiah 35 of the roses and the buds and the blooms, that's really what our message is about somewhat this morning too, as far as we read Isaiah the 40th chapter, because there is no equal to our Lord. And I feel a little bit bad this morning because we're not just going to be focused on the Lord completely. You may say that we're going to look at one of those blooms of the rose. This morning on our mind we have on our mind still thinking of just Peter, a disciple of Jesus, following after Jesus and just his life and the lessons we can learn from Peter. And that's not really fair, you say, because Jesus had 12 disciples. And I realize that. And we could do 12 individual studies on those men. I understand that. So this morning, we're just going to look at that one bloom, perhaps. This morning, we'd like to just look at Peter's life. And I realize that maybe Peter's personality is enough different than yours. You can't relate to Peter. I get that. And I'm sorry if today's message doesn't hit home because of that. Like I said, there was 12 of his disciples. Peter's just one man. I understand that. But this morning, our intent is to look at Peter. The point of looking at Peter is the fact that Peter, there's quite a bit about Peter, for one thing, if you get to studying Peter. And Peter was one of those men that I'm going to say it wasn't like he was good to go all the time. Peter had his struggles. Maybe it was the deserts in his life. And I believe that each one of us have those from time to time because we're human. It happens. The first thing I'd like to think of Peter as we also try to encourage us as disciples of Jesus, looking at Peter, looking what Peter did. As far as Peter, here in chapter 16, our brother nicely read to us in Matthew, has always stood out to me as to why Jesus said this to Peter. It was after 16th verse where we'll start. Jesus asked, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter was willing to answer that question that Jesus asked, but I just really wonder what the other disciples had said. And I just wonder if Peter wasn't maybe the first one to answer because of Peter's personality. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was Peter's answer. You know that we'll find other places where they had made a list, well, here in the 14th verse of this chapter, who they said that Jesus was. But Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what does Jesus do? Jesus, right then and there, he blesses Peter, Simon Bar, and Jonah. And he says, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I think Jesus was very excited at that time that finally Peter was getting it. Finally, Peter was seeing the light. Verse 18, "And Jesus said also to these, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I think what stood out in my mind as I was thinking of Peter is Peter with the keys of heaven. Jesus rewarded Peter with the keys to heaven. You know that in our occupation, it's not too often, or it is often, that we go to a home and we work there a few days and pretty soon, "Well, I have a doctor's appointment you need in. I'll just give you the code," or whatever. And you know, that kind of bothers me each and every time. It bothers me because I know that they trust me to go in the house and do my work, but I just always question, well, what happens if something would happen while I had access to their house? Who would they blame? Jesus is willing to give Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven because Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter is willing to just be bold and say who he believed that Jesus was. As far as inspiration for us as disciples, as believers, That's one of the very first things that we have to cross, and that is disbelieving. Believing that He is the Son of God. And we ask that at each baptism. Do you believe? Do you believe? And a lot of times I said, yes, we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He came from heaven with the saving gospel. And why I'm touching on that is, as I look out among us, there's young people. They're making choices, making life choices. And I'm just going to throw out a warning of today's age of believing. Of believing in Jesus Christ. You know, in this Bible we find Nicodemus came to Him and asked what he could do to be in His kingdom. And Jesus tells him, be born again. Be born again. Obviously that was a question in Nicodemus' mind. He couldn't quite understand being born again. I just want to, as a warning, because I know what's out there, and I'm going to share some stories of what's out there, of today's age we live in, and just believing. You know, Peter here, he says that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I just want to bring up the emphasis on baptism. Today, our young people are being taught that you can just believe and accept Jesus in your heart. Why would there be a story of Nicodemus in this book? I guess I'm not willing to start tearing out pages and saying that isn't significant enough. We'd like to just share with you part of a couple of stories of what we're dealing with in today's age. A tract that was given to us from a plain couple, and I don't mean to pick them apart, but I'm just throwing out a warning. On this tract it says, 4 simple keys in going to heaven. 4 simple keys to going to heaven. And I'm going to read these 4 keys because I want to make a point with this. Key number 1, you must believe what God's Word says about your present spiritual condition. You must believe. Number 2, you must believe what God's Word says about your consequences of your sin if you remain in your present condition and reject His Son, Jesus Christ. You must believe. Key number 3, you must believe that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, lovingly paid your sin debt through His sacrificial death and the shedding of His precious blood at Calvary on the cross. You must believe. Number 4, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your spiritual Savior and Lord to receive His wonderful gift of eternal life as your hope, only hope for heaven. You must believe. You must believe. On the back of there it says you can say a little prayer, invite Him in your heart, and then if you have any other questions or want more information, you can send off to them. My point with that is why would Jesus be baptized? Why would the disciples be baptized? We'll get to the day of Pentecost eventually. Why was there 3,000 baptized if it's not necessary? It just kind of strikes a chord with me that we can just live in a day and age where we just say, just believe. Just believe and all will be good. I'll share the story of this summer. As a dad that has a young man growing up, having a little bit of experience of things and just kind of wanting to watch. Wanting to watch to see what happens. Still thinking of just believing, and it bothering me, I guess. This summer, we made our way over to Farm Science Review, pulled our son out of school, and we're walking there. Of course, it's just the latest and greatest, so to speak, of farming as far as equipment. And there's, a lot of times, there's bus fulls of teenagers there. And when they get to me, rows in where we started seeing these teenagers with these walking sticks. And someone asked if you could get a walking stick. I'm sharing this story because I've been there myself as far as wanting something like this and not understanding what we have to go through maybe. Well, I knew what these walking sticks were about because I found myself obviously in that tent one time because obviously I wanted a walking stick. So I told him from past experience that the tent for the walking sticks was on the last row we'd get to, so we have to eat lunch, keep walking, and then we'll get that before we go home. And I just gave the warning. I said, you're going to have to be preached to get a walking stick. Of course, that was a little bit shocking that at the Farm Science, you'd have to get preached to get a walking stick. I just gave the warning that's what's going to happen. So we ate our lunch and we continued on through the aisles and got to the last row and got to the tent. And there's a young man there that had a walking stick. And I think maybe the dialogue was that we wanted a stick. And so he said, oh, well, my stick, the end's not that great. I'll go get you a new one. Let's go to the back of the tent. You're going to have to get preached to if you want a walking stick. So we go into the tent, and he said, let's grab a couple other people with us before we get more sticks. So those teenagers that were walking around, of course, those young men, they like to have walking sticks too. And so there was about half a dozen of us in this circle. And he said, I want to talk to you a little bit before you get your sticks. And on this 4-foot stick was a little piece of leather strapping with some beads on it. And he went through those beads and gave illustration what those beads stood for. There was a black bead for our sins. I'm not going to get them all correct, I don't think. There was a red one for Jesus' blood. There was a white one. There was a gold one. There was a green one. And I was impressed that we can have people that are willing to share at least a little bit of the word with these young people. Obviously, the young teenagers are attracted to these walking sticks. And as we're standing around in that circle, he says, whenever we accept Jesus into our lives, he said, we should remember that date, just like our own birthday. That's right. I can tell you the day I was baptized. I can tell you the exact day. Just can. It's part of life. And so he started around the circle, and he started asking these young men. He's like, do you remember the day when you accepted Jesus in your life? And the first one thought about it a little while. No, he just couldn't remember. Well, that's okay, and so forth. He couldn't remember when he accepted Jesus into his heart. My point is when we accept Jesus into our lives, we should know when Jesus is in there. It shouldn't be just some whim of accepting Jesus into our life. We should remember the day that we accepted him. So I just use an illustration. You know, it really bothered me as we left there. I was impressed still with them being willing to share a little bit of Jesus. But it just bothered me that here we have even a tent at the Farm Transit View that we can just accept Jesus into our heart. And there was groups in the tent, and I think that's what they were doing, was accepting him in their heart. I'm just warning us that that's not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus had in mind of baptism for each and every one of us. And I think as we are baptized and we follow Jesus, Jesus is willing to give us our reward. You know, Peter, he gave him the keys of heaven. We'd like to turn back to Matthew, the 14th chapter, pull a couple of verses. Maybe not quite what I had in mind as far as wrote down. I had wrote down 22 and 23. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mount apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Here's Peter. Peter was perhaps questioning Jesus often, as we find. But Jesus says, if it be you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship and walked on the water to go with Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, sometimes in our questioning, maybe we do the same thing Peter did and have a little bit of doubt. Our brother in opening shared maybe that time of doubt is the desert. Maybe that time of doubt is when things don't go as planned. Does Jesus ever say to you, O thou little faith, where dost thou doubt? Why didst thou doubt? Does he ever say that to you? I can say he said that to me numerous times. Numerous times when I have had little faith in him. Little faith in him as even just simply asking him. Asking him in prayer for something. It's just my stubbornness. I'm not asking Him. But He's willing to answer our prayers. He's willing to give us what He sees fit. And I think sometimes we as humans don't see things answered the way that we think they should be answered. So we have that doubt. But I just want to encourage us as we continue on following Him is just continue that faith. Strengthen that faith. Have better faith than yesterday in Him because we've had experience of Him. You know, I can think of numerous times when I've had doubt. And maybe it was just a little doubt. A little doubt that He cared. One of those times would have been early summer. And we found ourselves at Children's Hospital and I found myself in the car waiting and the text came that someone was going to have an IV. And I believe the text said, just pray. All goes well. I'll just say it's just not my makeup to do that like I should. But that day I was sitting there and I was just by myself in the car and thought, I'm going to. So I did. Said a little prayer in the car for the one that was going to get worked on. And as they came out to the car, I had to ask how things went. She said they got it in first poke. Little faith sometimes can turn into big faith real quick. So I just encourage us as we continue to follow after Him, just ask Him. Just ask Him. Maybe that day was an exception of actually seeing the results at that time. I can say that can be true. Sometimes we want answers quickly. Sometimes He's very patient. Sometimes He has lessons for us to learn. He doesn't answer quickly all the time. But just keep believing on Him. Keep believing in Him. You know, Peter didn't just all of a sudden that day just think, oh yeah, I'll just say that He is the Son of the Living God. Peter had been mulling that around for quite some time and was starting to see that Jesus really was who He said He was. And we can read on here in the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter of just Peter and his life. Peter began to rebuke Jesus when Jesus said that He was going to go be crucified. He began to rebuke Him and Jesus answers and tells Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And what I want to share with that is, you know, Peter, it's just ironic that it's all in the same chapter, but perhaps happened rather quickly back to back that he gets the keys of heaven. And then Peter gets told something like that from Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Why I want to bring that out in Peter's life, as far as him, of Jesus saying that to him is, you know, in my own life, if Jesus, the one that I was following and believed was the Son of the Living God, and He said that to me, that would hurt. That would hurt for Jesus to say, get behind me, Satan. You know, Peter, just Peter's makeup, Peter was a man that I say was hot or he was cold. Peter wasn't in between. You knew exactly what Peter was thinking. You knew exactly what Peter was thinking in the fact of even here in this chapter of him saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. He just says it like it is. Didn't have to think about it. He just said it. And sometimes it got Peter in trouble. But you know, Peter, one thing I like about Peter is Peter didn't let this verse here, the 23rd verse, get him down too much. Yes, Peter may have been hurt. I think he would have been. It would have been typical. But you know, Peter kept going. Peter was steadfast. And as I think of Peter being steadfast, and I think of the brothers' opening of the roses, you know, the roses in the desert. And I think of trying to raise a rose in the desert. And sometimes we would, as humans, we would like to just thinking of a plant in the house, perhaps under a piece of plastic to retain the heat, keep warm, to grow, and the plant gets really leggy. Or maybe we'd water it too much and it'd start turning yellow. You know, Jesus is interested in us just being steady. He's interested in us just being steady. Not necessarily growing forth as a new plant, producing all these blooms on the rose bush all at one time. He's interested in the growth of that plant before the blooms come also. We'd like to just think of Peter's life as we turn back or return to Mark, the first chapter. Mark, first chapter, a couple of verses here. And this is just Peter as Peter is found to follow Jesus. Mark, first chapter, 16 through 18. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon. This is Jesus walking. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know, I'm just thinking of the disciples and Peter and his way of life of being a fisherman. I don't know how rough Peter was. I can just tell you that Peter probably stunk because of his occupation. You know, I enjoy fishing myself, but there's something about fishing. And I try to be very careful and not get slime all over me. But you know, all it takes is one fish to get off the hook, and guess what? You smell like fish. Here's Jesus walking, and he finds Peter and his brother Andrew. And the fact is that Jesus didn't just go around looking for clean people on the outside, perhaps. Peter was willing, and these people that, maybe this was one of the dirtiest jobs in that time, I don't really know, as I think of being a fisherman. You know, I mentioned just getting fish slime on you for getting off the hook, but I'm sure that as they prepared the fish, they had other things on them too. Jesus was interested in everybody. Jesus didn't just go to those people that were, like I said, clean on the outside. He was interested in Peter. And I think he was interested in Peter, not just because Peter, I think Jesus seen value in everyone, but I think Jesus picked these 12 men for a lesson for you and I. A lesson that we can't just say, well, Jesus just picked out certain people. He just picked out certain people, so therefore I don't qualify, so he don't like me. Jesus loves everyone. He loved Peter and his brother Andrew. We'd like to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. And this is after Peter has decided to follow Jesus. In verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and how followed thee? And Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Peter says, well, we left everything, Jesus, to follow you. I don't know how it is with you as far as leaving everything behind. You know, this mentions a house, brethren, sisters, family, lands. That's not something that we have done. We still have our houses. We still have our families. But you know, Jesus says here something about persecutions. You know, that's really the only thing that he promises us as we follow after him. And that is persecution. You know, it's easy to think that as we get baptized that our life is going to be that bed of roses. In America, it is that for the most part. We haven't made in the fact that we don't know too many persecutions. You know, as I think of just plain people moving in the area, I was with a man yesterday, he rode in my truck, and he said, you know, he said, I can't say anything bad about those people moving in. He said, there might be one out of a hundred or something like that, he said, but he said, most of them are good people. And he just appreciated these people moving in this area. And I just, as I thought about that, I thought, So here's the Amish moving in this area. And as the German Baptists have been in here for quite some time, he's been around for quite some time. I just wonder what he thinks of our people. I'll just tell you all, good job. He said the German Baptists, he said, have been a pleasure to work with. He said, I had a lot of customers that are German Baptists, he said, and I've appreciated every single one of them. So I say, as a group of people, I say good job for that. That someone's testimony in this world can be that. Not that it's going to give us better ranking anywhere. That's not my point. But my point is us shining a light here on this earth. And to this man, he sees it. He sees it. So just continue keeping it up, the good work. You know, as he talked about his customers, he talked about going to another area in Ohio, and he mentioned where, and I could relate to where he was talking and knew what for group he was talking about. And he said it was kind of a bad deal. He said there were several different deliveries on that truck, and he said things got mixed up. He said they weren't happy, and he said we tried to make it right. And he said, you know, I finally just told him, why don't you find someone near, closer to your area? My point is, if things don't go our way and we want to make a statement, we want things made right, I think we can do it correctly. The little bit that I got from that story is he didn't really appreciate how they were handling things, how they had made a big deal, and he was trying to do them a favor. So as we think of following after Jesus, the only promise we really have is persecutions. You know, I'll just share what I thought was a big deal when I was younger. And that was being out in the public school setting and knowing that my parents were different than a lot of people. All I can say is history does repeat itself. But you know, as I look back on that time frame and I think of what a big deal that was, and the other day, a customer had referenced one of our people as Dunkards, and I just kind of smirked like that. I just think it's a little bit humorous, I guess, that's the name that they give us. It's meant to be not a good thing. But as I think of just Jesus' teaching of being baptized, why would that be such a bad thing to be called a Dunkard? You know, sometimes in life we just take things perhaps the wrong way. We take things as not being... That really should be a good thing. If someone recognizes us as a dunkard, that can be a good thing for the fact that we're following after Jesus and doing what he says. So as we think of persecutions, you know, we haven't dealt with too many. We don't know what's to come. And that's where we can pray that we can find ourselves ready for whatever does come our way. We'd like to turn to John, the 13th chapter of John. And this again is where Peter kind of gets himself, he just says what he thinks. John 13, 6 through 10. Then cometh Jesus to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, doth thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to be washed his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Here's Peter being hot or cold. Jesus says that he's going to wash Peter's feet. And Peter says, no, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus tells him, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. And Peter wants everything that he can washed. My point with bringing this out is Peter was very dedicated. If Peter seen that something was good, Peter wanted it all. And I bring this out because of the end of Peter's life, how Peter has changed. So Peter here, he wants his hands, he wants his feet, he wants every part of him washed, basically. And Jesus says, no, just your feet. And I think what Peter was struggling with here is just the fact of Jesus being the servant. Peter wasn't used to that. Peter, in his mind, had still thought that Jesus was the king, and he was going to set up his kingdom right then and there, is how I see it. Peter was still thinking that Jesus was the master. He didn't need to stoop himself to wash Peter's feet. That's what the servant's job was. So Peter's willing then for his feet to be washed. Let's turn to John 21. John 21, 15 through 23. This is again when Jesus is talking to Peter. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto thee, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Peter's beginning to wonder why Jesus is still questioning him. Why would he keep questioning me the third time? Jesus, you know all things, you know I love thee. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and thou shalt gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by that death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what is this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt tarry, I will come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Here's where Jesus just tells Peter, just follow me. Then when this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So Jesus basically says, Peter, just follow me. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, follow me. And we like to go back to Matthew as we think of him following after Jesus. And our point with this is just the fact that Peter wasn't perfect. Peter was not perfect. Even though Peter had the keys to heaven, Peter was not perfect. We'd like to go Matthew 26, 31 through 35. Then said Jesus to them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. So here Jesus is telling them that he's going to be crucified. And Peter says, I'm going to be crucified with thee. I'm not going to deny thee. And we'll read on in the chapter here. Yeah, verse 69. This is soon after Peter had said that he wasn't going to deny Jesus that same night. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them, that were there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And you'll find that in a few of the gospel accounts where Peter went out and wept. Peter knew exactly what had just happened. Something he was so determined wasn't going to happen, happened. Something that he had said that he wasn't going to do, he said he was going to die with Jesus before he denied him. And what happens? He denies him three times. You know, I think that illustration is in this Bible for us to learn that sometimes we have good intentions. We have good intentions and sometimes we fall short of those intentions. You know, I have to wonder if Peter had said that he was willing to die with Jesus, what was he scared of here? Why did he deny Jesus? Why wasn't Peter willing to go then? I think that answer is pretty simple. I think that's something very hard for any living creature to just lay down their life and to die. You know, I can think of just life in itself and think of even little animals being born. And I can tell you from helping several that, you know, if something doesn't have the will to live, you're going to have a really tough time to get them going. But I can tell you there's almost all living things that come into this world have the fight to live. They have that drive, they have that instinct that they're going to have to do something to live. So I think that's just perhaps each one of us, that we just have, this is a story of Peter and perhaps his fault of denying Jesus. But I think that can be any of us. And the fact that we're not willing to just not live. We'd like to wrap up our thoughts here soon. We'd like to think of Peter and his mistakes, perhaps, of denying Jesus, of having little faith of Jesus, of walking on the sea, of just his personality of even questioning Jesus from time to time. We'd like to turn to Acts. Our brother was close in opening. We'd like to go to the second chapter of Acts. Make a few more comments about Peter before I take our seat, because Peter's life's not over yet. We'd like to read Acts chapter 2, starting in the 14th verse. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit unto all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And when my servants and my handmaidens and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Peter, I'm going to say at this time, was very hot. I said earlier Peter was either hot or cold. I believe this day Peter was on fire. Peter, he meant business. He had seen enough of Jesus, He had seen enough of his own faults, but he had seen something in Jesus, that Jesus was the real deal. Jesus was the real deal. Peter was completely sold out. Peter was willing to stand up and to preach. And we like to just go on over to the 38th verse. Let's start with 37th. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. My point with bringing that out, Peter preaching, Peter being completely sold out on Jesus, putting his life into preaching basically, and that day 3,000 souls being saved. And I'm going to use this illustration for each one of us. Peter and his preaching, in that one day 3,000 souls were added unto them. I want to leave you with how Peter died. You know, we can find written several places in other documents that Peter asked to be crucified upside down. He wasn't worthy of being crucified like his Lord. He wanted to be crucified upside down. You know, as we talked of Peter's life this morning and his boldness, his stubbornness perhaps, you know, it finally got to Peter to where he had some humility. When he finally died, he asked to be crucified upside down. You know, I just want to leave you with this as far as Peter and his life. What's interesting to me is as human beings, we can say, well, Lord, we did this or we did that for your kingdom.